God's children say? Amen. Amen. Well, listen, it is awesome to be with you guys today. And Gertie, thanks so much for the honor. Every year I get to speak here. It is an honor. And I'm just honored today. So I think most of you know me. If not, my name is Devin Blankenbiller. And I am going to move this stuff here quickly, get all the tripping hazards out of the way. And I am a proud father of four. Shout out to Lydia and Judah here today. So, and two other kids are coming at junior high camp, Hannah and Sammy. And I am husband to a wonderful wife I don't deserve, Jess. She was here on Wednesday morning. Hopefully she did an awesome job. And most importantly, I'm a child of God. That's the most important thing. And I'm just so honored every day I wake up and just basking in the fact that I'm his child. And so here's my question. Raise your hand if God's been speaking to you at all this week. Raise your hand if you feel like God's been speaking to you at all this week. Okay, some of your hands are up. Cool, awesome. Most of your hands are up. Cool. All right, put your hands down for a second. Raise your hand if you can think of one thing that God's been specifically kind of like telling you, speaking to you about, or reminding you about. Raise your hand. Is there like a thing, like one thing that you can think of? Come on, think hard. Think hard. I think there could be some more hands. What's God speaking to you this week? Just think of one thing right now. Think one thing, one takeaway so far from the week that you can say, man, you know, God really spoke that to me. He's really been encouraging me in this way. One thing, okay. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do something I've never done before. All right, we're going to take 30 seconds on the clock. I want you to turn to the person left and right, and I want you to tell them right now one thing God's been speaking to you this week. Ready, set, go. Go for it. All right, here's why I did this. One, I think it's awesome for you guys to verbalize out loud some of the things that God's been speaking to you. Listen, and if this was the first time, I encourage you, counselors, you know, if you're not already, give opportunity for kids to share. Bring that music down just a little bit. Give opportunity for kids to share. But here is the other reason. Because God's word, right, is being lived out, is being proven right in front of all of us this whole week. Do you know that? Listen, that the word of God is active and alive, and it's alive in your hearts this week. You know, Jeremiah 29:13, when you seek me, you will find me. When you seek me with your whole heart, you will find me. You guys have been finding that this week, right? James 4:8, draw near, come near to God, and God will come near to you. Isn't that awesome? Listen, some people are like, I don't know if God's word's real. Listen, it's being played out this week, isn't it? In our hearts, in our lives, in your hearts, in your lives. And I just love that, right? That when we take some time and we get rid of the distractions, right? We get rid of the Instagrams and we get rid of the YouTube. And they didn't take their phones, though, did they? They didn't take their phones, did they? They still have their phones, right? They don't have phones? You guys are still alive? Oh, my goodness. Wow, miracles are happening, right? Right? No, I'm just kidding. I knew that. I knew you guys didn't have them, right? But it's incredible that when we just seek the Lord, how he meets us here. And the first thing that I thought when I got on my car and I walked down towards the street hockey court and just took a couple minutes to pray, I just said, thank you, God, for the so many different times that you met me. You know, he just been so faithful. And I know that the Lord wants to speak and encourage you tonight. Because let me tell you, kids, God doesn't want what he's doing in your life to end. Let me say that again. God doesn't want what he's doing in your life to end. Can I get an amen to that? Right? Listen, God has started something, and he's going to continue it. Can I get another amen, right? Listen, one of the struggles that we face going to camp every year, and again, I started going to camp when I was 9 years old. This camp, one of the struggles we face is none of us want to go home, because none of us want to get that post-camp slump where, like, all of a sudden we come off this high, right, and we're just flying high, and then we come home to the trials, and we come home to the struggles, or we come home to all the electronics and the distractions, and we just don't feel God that close anymore. Anybody have that ever happen to you? Raise your hand. Wow, a lot of hands going up, right? Right? But God doesn't want that to happen. And I'm so thankful for all that's been getting spoken into you, the powerful truths spoken into you. And I just want to remind you today that as you've been hearing about the holiness of God all week and just his power and his awesomeness, and hearing last night about how Jesus is our priest and he goes before us. Listen, I am so, so thankful that we've been forgiven. I am so, so thankful for what Jesus has done for us. I am so thankful that I am going to stand before God one day covered in the blood of Jesus Christ, and that is my only ticket into heaven, and I'm going to worship him forever for that. But let me tell you, there is a little more that I can encourage you in, because God's word promises that every day and every moment we have the ability to go before that throne of grace. Every moment, every day, every year. Doesn't matter how young or how old you get. As it says in Hebrews 4, because of Jesus, our great high priest, we can come with confidence and boldness before the throne of God to receive mercy, forgiveness, right? And find grace, strength, power when we need it most. And kids, let me just be honest. I was walking around the lake this afternoon, and I was just saying, God, I'm here again for your mercy. I don't deserve to be speaking at camp tonight. I'm here again for your grace and your strength, because I'm in a time of need. And we can always approach the throne of grace. And let me tell you, kids, that is not going to change on Saturday morning. That continues every day of your life. See, I don't want you to go and leave this place and be what a couple different kind of Christians. We see many different kinds of Christians, and a couple images came to my mind when I was praying about this. I don't want you to go home and be that fast food Christian, okay? I mean, listen, there's nothing wrong with a fast food burger, right? Who, give me a shout out for Chick-fil-A. Come on right now, right? There we go, right? Right? But come on, listen, I don't want you to just be like, okay, God, I'm going to you. I need an answer. Make it fast. And if you don't make it fast, I'm out of here. I'm frustrated. Last night, I stopped at McDonald's, okay? And I know. It was late at night. It was the only place open. My son had a late baseball game. I waited 15 minutes. Even my son, who was hungry, said, Dad, we could have been home by now. Maybe we should just leave, right? I mean, it was pretty bad, right? But that's kind of how we get with God, right? Like, where is my answer? Where are you? You need to be here right now. Sometimes we can become fast food Christians and we can become a little impatient. Sometimes, and again, this analogy is for the ladies here. Is that okay? I give a lot of guy analogies. Want to hear this? Is the ladies' analogy. I don't know where this came from. It just popped in my head, right? Sometimes we can be curling iron Christians. Okay, I'm telling you, I want to make up some merch for calling it like, "Don't be a curling iron Christian." Okay, and here's what a curling iron Christian would be. I'm going to go, I'm going to plug it in, I'm going to get the power when I need it, and then I'm going to leave it. And I'm going to go my own way, and I'm going to go have fun, and I'm going to just leave it at home. We just sometimes with God, we just plug in, I need some power, I need this, I need that. We go to it, we get what we need, then we leave it there, let it cool off, and I'm going to go. Many Christians, we live that way, many of us. Sometimes not being a curling iron Christian or a fast food Christian, we become cell phone Christians. Right? Everybody looking, oh, cell phone, I can't wait to get my cell phone back. We become cell phone Christian. What do you mean? Oh, I'm at camp, I'm charged up 100%. 100%, I'm charged up. And then we're going to go home, and we're going to see how long we can last on that battery until the battery slowly starts dying. God doesn't want us to be a fast food Christian. God doesn't want us to be a curling iron Christian. God does not want us to be a cell phone Christian. Let me tell you what God calls us to be. Let me tell you what Jesus spoke into his disciples right before he was about to be arrested and go to the cross. He said this to his disciples. If you want to follow along, it's in John 15, but I kind of recommend just listen. He said, I am the real vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch which is part of me but fails to bear fruit, he cuts off. And every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes so that it may bear more fruit. Stay united with me as I will be with you. For just as the branch can't put forth fruit by itself apart from the vine, so you can't bear fruit apart from me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who stay united with me and I with them are the ones who bear much fruit. Because apart from me, you can't do a thing. Unless a person remains united with me, he is thrown away like a branch and dries up. Such branches are gathered and thrown into the fire where they are burned up. But if you, listen to me, if you remain united with me and my words with you, then ask whatever you want and it will happen to you. This is how the Father is glorified in your bearing much fruit. This is how you will prove to be my disciple, my follower. Just as the Father has loved me, so I too have loved you. So stay in my love. And if you keep my commands, you will stay in my love. And just as I've kept my Father's commands and stay in his love, and I have said this to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Now listen, I could preach all week on this passage. There is so much in here, but listen, just like, let me move this. This is the picture that Jesus gives to his disciples. Now, this is not a grapevine, which he was talking about. This is actually a raspberry vine or a raspberry bush. How many of you like raspberries? Raise your hand if you like raspberries, right? Just wait around, right? We'll get some. We'll plant this outside of camp, right? But this is a raspberry vine, right? And this picture that Jesus gives is not of a fast food Christian. It's not of a curling iron Christian. It's not of a cell phone Christian. It's a Christian that is connected to the vine. And every one of these leaves, every one of these small areas, these are the branches, and this centerpiece is the vine. And this on the branches is where that fruit is going to bear. And Jesus is pleading with his disciples, listen, you need to stay so connected to me, just like the branches are connected to these giant vines. And as you stay connected, you will bear fruit. And he even says, you know what? Oh, what my Father's going to do, he's going to take all these dead branches that aren't doing anything. He's going to cut them out. He's going to put them in a pile. He's going to burn them. He's going to prune some of these leaves back so it bears more fruit, so that fruit will come forth. That's the analogy that Jesus is giving to his disciples. And you know what? We could sit around here and we could wait and watch. Maybe we should do this for the next half an hour. Let's sit here and wait for one of these branches to detach from the vine. It would take a while, won't it? Because it's not going to detach, is it? It's going to stay united. It's going to stay abiding in the vine. That's another version of Scripture says, abide in me. So if you hear me say abide, that means stay connected, right? That's what the branches are doing with the vine. They're staying connected. And my call to you as you go home this at the end of this week, tomorrow, as you go home tomorrow, is would you be an abider? Would you just stay connected to Jesus? And I want to share some of the amazing promises that Jesus just spoke in this passage about what happens when we stay connected and we abide in Jesus. You know, I just got back from vacation. My whole family, we just came back from Florida for 8 days and then rushed our kids right here to camp. And, you know, there's a lot of fun things about the vacation. But honestly, the best part of the vacation for me was just simply that I got to remain with my family. I got to stay connected to my family. I got to abide with my kids and my wife. Right? Every moment of the day, we hung out together, right? We swam together. We went to amusement park together. We drove in the car together. We just hung out together. And as someone who works normally, I get up. So every now and then I'll have breakfast with them. Every now and then I'll just see them when I come home. But I got to abide with them. I got to stay with them. And again, Jesus is calling us, right, to stay. He doesn't want you to go home and disconnect. He wants you to stay connected, right? And listen, I'm not here to throw any shade your way. But kids, we know what it means to abide. We know what it means to stay connected, right? Because we are in this crisis as a culture. where we are so connected to our TV shows or our Instagram account or our socials or our games or whatever. We abide and stay connected to so many things. How about we stay connected to Him? How about we hear the call that Jesus has to you? Stay connected, just like He was calling His disciples. Stay connected. Abide in Me. And when we do, I mean, you talk about that song, all your promises are yes and amen. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who stay united with Me, they are the ones who bear much fruit. Verse 7, if you remain united with Me and My words with you, then ask whatever you want and it'll be given to you. Just as My Father has loved Me, I too have loved you. Stay in My love. I have said this so that My joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. I mean, it is incredible the promises that are in this passage for those who stay connected. And so real quick, here's what I'm going to do. You guys ready? I'm going to share real quickly about these blessings that God promises when we stay connected. I'm going to share how we receive these promises. And I'm going to share why we receive these promises, okay? I'm going to share real quick what these blessings are. I'm going to share how we receive them. And I'm going to share why we receive them. Got that? Say, got it. All right, cool. Here we go. Here are some blessings. And there's multiple in here, but I'm going to touch on a couple. One blessing that we get when we abide in Jesus, we get the love of God. The love of God. Listen, everyone in the world is searching to be loved. Everyone in the world is searching to be accepted. Everyone wants to feel accepted. So many of you feel deprived of love. So many of you wonder, does anybody care for me? Right? Does anybody know me? Does anybody know what I'm going on inside? Right? There's this feeling and desire to be accepted. Listen, such of the movement right now, the LGBTQ and the transgender movement, all of it is, so much of it is based on people just wanting to be loved and accepted. I just want to be loved and accepted. Listen, I'm telling you, that desire to be loved and accepted hasn't changed. You can go back 10 years, 20 years, 50 years. There's people that have pulled away from the Word of God to do whatever they want to do so that they will feel loved and accepted. And God says, I will show you My love. I'm going to send My Son to die on the cross. I love you so much that I'm sending My Son, My only Son. Right? And He just wants to come and show us the fullness of God. I mean, Jesus carried the radiance of God, the fullness of God upon Him. And Jesus said that when you abide in Me, that the same love that God loves Me and lavished on Me, I will love you with. Listen, I never read that verse without stopping and just trying to take that in. Jesus, could you really love me that much? I mean, the perfect love of God that's lavished on His Son is given to me when I abide in God? Are you kidding me? Right? And it's such incredible news that we can carry this blessing every day. Listen, the love of God is not dependent on your grades. Can I get an amen? Your love of God is not dependent on your looks. Nobody wants to say amen about that, right? But listen, the love of God is not dependent on how many likes you got on socials. It's not dependent on your status. It's not dependent on your accomplishments. It's not dependent on what table you sit at lunch. It's not dependent on the feelings that you have on that day. Listen, every single moment, every single morning, you can wake up and receive the new mercies of God and the love of God, which is fresh and new every morning. The steadfast love of God never ceases. And you can embrace that for your life every moment. It's a blessing. I wake up and I receive it. I remain in it. I walk in it. I go to bed with it. It's the love of God. Listen, we can have joy. He said, I have said this that you would have My joy and that My joy might be complete, right? Listen, joy is not happiness, right? Joy is not this, oh, I feel great all the time, right? Jesus had joy. Jesus was about to go be crucified on the cross. So what is that joy? That joy is this fortitude that in the hardest of times that our life is secure. Even as you were worshiping Jesus on that last song, faithful you are, faithful always you'll be. Listen, we sing that on the greatest moments of our life. We sing that in the worst moments of our life. And we can have a joy, a deep in our soul, right? This deep peace that no matter what happens, the Lord is with me. Listen, as you've had multiple teachers sharing and reminding you the wrath of God that should have been upon us but was placed on Jesus instead, every day I wake up and I say, Jesus, the fact that your wrath isn't on me, that's reason enough for me to be filled with joy. It doesn't matter anything else that happens to me. That is my source of joy. And Jesus said, when you abide, when you remain, you stay connected, you will have my joy. You will cry at times. You will weep at times. You might even say, God, what are you doing? But in the depths of your heart, you will have his joy. It's a blessing. And here's this other part. Oh, my goodness, we can't even get our hands around this. Jesus says that if you remain united with me and my words in you, then ask whatever you want and it will happen to you. Really? I mean, just think about this for a second. Pretend I'm trying to sell you a pill. I got this new greatest medical invention, okay? If you take one of these pills, you'll always feel loved, you will have joy, and anything you ask will automatically happen to you. Who wants that pill, right? Right? I mean, do you think they'll try to market that? But this is what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, listen, anytime you abide with me, ask whatever you want, and it will be given to you. Now, why aren't you guys excited about that? Come on, why aren't you excited about that? Thank you. Thank you, somebody. I think there's a little reservation that we have, right? Well, Devin, who's this person speaking? I mean, we shouldn't make God out to be like some genie. I can ask for whatever I want, right? I mean, who knows, right? When genie in the lamp, it's always like, can I get more wishes, right? I mean, that's the trick, right? You want more wishes, right? And God's not that, right? And that's not what I'm saying with this. And I'm not saying that we should just have this desire to have whatever we want. But there is power in what Jesus has said here. And I think there's a blessing in it that I want you guys to know, that Jesus says that when we abide in him, that when his word abides in us, that we can ask whatever we want for. You know what that blessing is? That blessing is what I said in the beginning, that we can go to the throne of grace every moment and we can pray and we can abide with him. That's the blessing, that no matter what we're going through, Jesus didn't say, if you abide in me, I'll just give you all the strength you need. He didn't say that. He said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, then ask. Come to me and ask. There is a blessing that we have of just going to the Father and asking. Listen, it's called prayer. And when we abide in him, that blessing flows. I love what Charles Spurgeon wrote. Listen closely. He says, prayer comes spontaneously from those who abide or remain in Jesus. Prayer is the natural outgushing of a soul in communion with Jesus. As the leaf and the fruit come out of the vine of the branch without any conscious effort, and simply because of living union with the stem, so prayer buds and blossoms and fruits out of the soul who's abiding in Jesus. As stars shine in the sky, so do abiders pray. They do not say to themselves, it is time to go get our task and pray. No, they pray as wise men eat. Namely, they desire it. They do not cry out under bondage, oh, this time I ought to be in prayer, but I don't feel like it. What a burden it is. No, they have this glad errand at the mercy seat, and they rejoice to go there. Hearts abiding in Christ send forth prayer as fire sends out flames and sparks. Souls abiding in Jesus open the day in prayer. Prayer surrounds them as an atmosphere all day long, and at night they fall asleep praying. Isn't that such a blessing that we have? That we can go to the Lord and ask him for anything that is in our heart. And this is the blessing that comes. Let me just tell you, I don't know about you, but I know that when I do get hungry, I know where to go. It's called the refrigerator. I got 4 teenagers at home. Most of the time it's empty because they're always eating all the food, right? So then I got to go to the next place, which is Aldi's. And when I'm really hungry, I'm going to go get in my car and go get food somewhere. Listen, as people who know Jesus Christ, we have this privilege to go to him anytime we want. And we can ask. We know the source, right? And we need to learn how to stay connected. And let me just tell you this. Let me ask you this. When you don't feel connected to Jesus, how often are you praying? Sometimes I recognize how connected I am by how much I'm praying, because when I'm not feeling connected or I'm not connecting to Jesus, all of a sudden my prayer life is in the tank. But when I'm connected to him, all of a sudden there is a blessing of prayer that flows, right? And not only is it this blessing of asking, kids, but it's this receiving, right? That we will find success. Ask whatever you wish, it'll be done, right? I mean, here's the thing. I mean, when we're united with him, there is fruit that is going to come into our lives. And that fruit looks many different things, right? Right? But God has a purpose to accomplish in each of you. And when we're abiding in him, just like you are this week, something from the inside says, God, I want to do what you want to do with my life. I want your will to be done. I want you glorified. And that desire comes forth through prayer, and God answers our prayer. You don't think this is true? What about Psalms 37:4? Delight yourself in the Lord, aka spend time with the Lord, be with him, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Continues to say, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he's going to act. Listen, this isn't just some blank check for anybody who doesn't know God. That's not what it is. This isn't some timetable. Okay, God, I ask, I'll give you 10 minutes, like right now, and here you go, you better answer. But this is us learning to wait on the Lord and to be with him and to know the precious blessing that comes, that he gives to us, that we can ask for what we need and he will answer it. God always answers prayer. I'm going to say that again. God always answers prayer. There's some prayers that he hasn't answered yet for me, but I know God always answers prayer. So listen, how can we obtain this blessing? How can you obtain this blessing as you go home? How can we put this into our life? How can we practice it? Let me read it again. If you abide in me, and if my words abide in you. 8 different times in this passage, Jesus says, abide in me, remain in me, stay connected to me. Right? This is where we want to go as we go home. God, how can I stay connected? And it's so interesting because, listen, Jesus didn't say this at the beginning of his ministry. Hey, disciples, leave your nets and your boats, come follow me. And as they're following, he goes, hey, if you stay close to me, I'll stay close to you. We got it together. That's not what he said. He's saying this before he's going to the cross. So what does he mean when he says, abide in me, stay connected to me? What does that mean for you and me? This was what I was meditating and thinking about during my whole vacation. Just my own times with the Lord, my own reading that I had, my own times in the Word. I was just like, Lord, what does it mean for me? I've been a believer in Jesus for close to 35 years. And I'm still saying, Jesus, I want to know what it means for me to just stay as connected to you as possible. I don't want to be just some curling iron Christian that I just plug into you at certain times of the day when I need you. I don't want to just demand you real quickly. I just don't want to be a cell phone to get charged up at certain times. No, I want to stay close. So I want to just share with you 4 very practical things that we can do to abide in Jesus. 4 things that I believe that you can do when you go home on Saturday. And they all start with a P, so maybe some of you will remember 1 or 2 of them because they all start with the same letter, okay? First letter, first word, say present. Listen, not the present around the tree. Present meaning God is present. And when we abide in Jesus, we recognize that God is present with us all the time. Psalms 139 says, O Lord, you search me and you know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise, you discern my thoughts. You search out my path, my lying down, and you're acquainted with all my ways. Listen, even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. Listen, kids, I'm sometimes amazed to know who God is. But do you know, sometimes I'm even more amazed that God knows who I am. God knows who you are. He knows every part of your life. I understand that we're in a, we can all probably raise our hand and say, I feel like God's presence has been here this week. Anybody agree with that? Anybody agree with that? Do you know, I came, one of the other things I did today, I came and just laid on this floor. And as soon as I laid down on the floor, I just felt like the presence of God. I said, God's been moving in this place. I felt his presence. But do you know that even when we are anywhere else in this world and we don't feel the presence of God, do you know that God is always present with you? You don't need the hair on the back of your neck to stand up for God to be present with you. He's always present. Says, you search me, you know me. Says, where can I go from your spirit, right? Where can I flee from your presence, right? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I go make my bed in the depths, you're there. And you dwell in the innermost parts of the sea. Where the heck can I go? You're always there. Listen, God is with you. When no one is home, God is with you. Listen, when you're sitting at lunch by yourself, God is with you. When you're nervous about an opportunity, God is with you. When you feel like you can't stop crying, God is with you. When you wake up excited for a new adventure, God is with you. He's present. And just recognizing that goes a long way. So here's a quick story. We like to go to some amusement parks as a family. So when we were in Florida, we chose to go to Busch Gardens this year for a couple days. And the one day that we went for a long, like, that was going to be our big kind of day. Like, we went on a Wednesday hoping the lines would be not that bad. And sadly, some of the best rides, the lines were really long, right? And so it was just kind of one of those things, like, okay, just get ready, 45, 1 hour waits. We're just going to have to deal with it. And so we decide to head out to get some lunch at the car around 1 o'clock. And a woman comes up to us, and she goes, hey, are you guys going to be here staying longer? And we're like, yeah. She's like, here's one of those quick queue fast pass cards. I just paid $100. We can't stay. And this lets you jump the lines and get in front of the lines, right? And we're like, oh, well, thank you very much, right? Isn't that great, right? God is so good. And so, you know, we go out to the car, and we come back in, and I'm walking in. And I hate to say this, but my thought was, well, God, I have 4 kids, not 1 kid. I have 4 kids. Right. And so, you know, first ride we did was like, okay, everybody take a turn. It's an hour long wait. So you just ride it by yourselves and jump the line. They would go. 8 minutes later, they'd come back. Then the next one would go. And we'd all sit there kind of thing. And it was better than going through the lines. But I was like, literally in my heart, I'm like, God, could you at least give me one more? Right. I don't mean to be like not happy, but, you know, it was just in my heart. I didn't express it to anybody. 2 hours later, I'm just sitting there. My kids are on a different ride, and I didn't want to go on. I'm sitting there, and God just kind of speaking to my heart about a couple things. And all of a sudden, once you know, some lady goes to the next table and goes, hey, I have 3 fast passes. Do you want them? And says it to the next table. I go, oh, Lord, I'm right here. She went to the wrong table. Right? And for whatever reason, this woman's like, what do we want those for? We don't want them. I'm just like, so she's like, okay, sorry to bother you. And I was like, ma'am, I'll take them. She's like, you do? I'm like, yeah, my kids are all on rides, and we have one, and we got 4 kids. She's like, oh, that's perfect. And it was just one of those moments. Listen, it's not about going on rides. It's about God sees us, and he knows us, and he's present with us. And when we abide in him, it's knowing that he's present. Listen, second P, having pause moments throughout the days, right? Sometimes we got to hit pause, right? And many of us, we have these built into our days. It's time for lunch or time to go to bed or time to get up or, hey, in between activities. What do we normally do when we have a little downtime in our day? Come on, someone be honest. Go on our phone, watch YouTube, right? Whatever app. Some of you guys, you know what your go-to app is, right? It's your go-to app. What about if in those pause moments, we just take a little time to just talk to Jesus? What about if those pause moments, we just maybe just take a little time to just say, I just want to meditate on one of God's promises for my life that I need to hear right now. Those are the moments that make the difference in our life. Instead of going to all those other things that we just pause, right? And we just say, God, I know you're present with me, and I know you want to encourage me. And in this pause moment of the day, I'm going to think of you, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to talk to you, or I'm gonna hum a song, or yeah, I'm going to put a worship song on real quick, and I'm going to give you the praise that you deserve. So we recognize his presence. We have pause moments. Listen, we also recognize that he's our provision. He's our provision, that whenever there is something that we need, we don't rely on our own strength. We say, I'm going to God. He's going to give me strength. Men, guys, right here, real quick. It's so easy as you get older just to think, I got to solve every single world problem. Abiding in Jesus means I'm dependent upon him. Abiding in Jesus is saying, you are going to make me the person. I'm going to make myself my own man. No. Abiding in Jesus is recognizing that we need his provision for our lives, right? And when we recognize that throughout the day, we're abiding with him. We're abiding with him. And the fourth thing that we do when we abide in him, we desire to do his purpose for our lives. We desire his purpose. This is why Jesus said over and over again, listen, if you abide in me, you will bear fruit. I know I say this most every camp that I'm here, but I need to remind you again, counselors and campers alike, God is doing such an amazing work in your life because of the greatness of his purpose in your life. And the more that you struggle, and the more that you might be tempted, and the more the trials that you might face, they're all things trying to stop you from doing the amazing work that God has. He has a purpose. And when you embrace that purpose and say, God, here I am, use me however, I'm going to stay connected to the vine, and fruit is going to come into my life. God is going to do incredible work through your life. He's just looking for people to say, here I am, use me for your purpose. And when you say that in your heart and you say, God, here I am, listen, I don't care if you're 12, 13, 14, 18 years old, you are never too young or too old to say, God, here I am. God is looking for students to make an impact in schools today. Are any of you willing? Because he says that if you ask me, he will give you success and he will bless you and he will bear fruit through your lives. He's not looking for you to go through Bible college in order to do that. He's just looking for a heart to say, God, I want you to accomplish your purpose in my life. Here I am. Use me. Now, that's not just the only thing that we do in order to make some of these things happen. Yes, we need to abide in him. But Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. If you remain in me and if my words remain in you. It's so funny because you might say the word of God and God is the same. Jesus and the word, isn't that the same? Yes, in the beginning was the word and the word was with God and the word was God, yes. But there's something powerful about staying in the word of God. I just want to challenge some of you today. I just want some of you to think for a moment, what would your life look like if you committed to just staying in God's word every day when you go home? What would it look like for you to just say, you know what, every day I'm just going to read a chapter of the New Testament and I'm going to work my way through the New Testament? Do you think that's possible in your life? What do you think God would do in your life? Gertie, what do you think God would do in the hearts of these students if they committed to abiding in the word of God on a daily basis? I know what's going to happen. God's going to speak to you. God's going to bless you. God's going to pour out the abundance of his love upon your life, because as you meditate on his word, it's going to change you from the inside out, right? And listen, not only do we abide in his word by just, oh, I got to read it every day, but abiding in his word, when I was studying this, I just felt like the Lord like nailed me, because abiding in his word means I'm living out his word. I'm not abiding in his word when I'm doing something he doesn't want me to do. It's just not how it happens. Listen, we have to let go of our insecurities. We have to let go of sexual immorality. We have to let go of our addictions. We have to let go of our idols that God's speaking to some of you. And we have to stay in his word and abide in his word. That's how we get those blessings, by abiding in him and by letting his word abide in us. Can everybody do me a favor? Can you guys all look at the back of those two doors back there? You guys just take a moment. See those double doors back there that go outside? All you guys have gone in and out of those double doors, right? Let me read what Charles Spurgeon said. Oh, for the grace to pass through these two golden doors. What two golden doors? If you abide in me and my word abides in you, he says, push through those two and enter into the large room of ask whatever you wish and it shall be done. Push through those doors into the large room of you will be full of the love of God. Push through those two doors and be filled with, enter the room of being filled with the joy of Christ. Push through those two rooms and be filled with the knowledge of knowing I am going to bear fruit with my life. Those are the doors we push through, the golden doors of receiving these blessings. And just finally, as we wrap it up, you might say, well, Devin, why is it like this? Why must I abide in Jesus? Why? Well, and why will God really give me anything I want when this happens? I will tell you why really quickly, and I'm going to land this plane really quickly. Because when we abide in him and we remain in Jesus Christ, we abide in the fullness of God. Everything we possibly could need comes from him. He is the source. He is the source of all life. He is the source of all hope. He is the source of all strength. He is the source of all forgiveness. He is the source of all love. He is the source of all joy. He is the source of everything that we need. Let me just tell you something, kids. If Jesus doesn't have it, you don't want it. Because he's the source. So why should we be shocked when Jesus says, abide in me and you're going to be fill the fullness of my love? Why should we be shocked when Jesus says, abide in me and you will be overflowing with joy? Why should we be shocked when Jesus says, abide in me, just ask whatever you want, I'll give it to you? Why should we be shocked when he says, abide in me and you're going to bear fruit? Because he is the source. Do you need strength, kids? Jesus has it for you in his spirit. Do you need holiness? See Jesus' holiness. Do you need forgiveness of sin? Come and see the blood that he shed for you. Do you need sin to be put to death in your life? Look to the cross. Do you need hope? Go look to the resurrection. Are you lonely? He is with you. Are you confused? He gives you wisdom. He is the source of all things. And that is why Jesus said two different times, apart from me, you can do nothing. Because he is the source of all things. And when we are abiding in him, and when his word is abiding in us, all of a sudden our will, our desires are becoming aligned with his desire. And then all of a sudden our prayers and the things that we ask for, the things that we need, the things that we're thinking of, all of a sudden it gets completely aligned with his will and desire. And so all we're doing is praying and we're asking for the same things that God wants on this earth. You know, it's incredible. Look at this branch. Tell me where you see a difference of the texture between the branch and the vine. They just completely flow together. It seems like it's all one piece. And that's what Jesus wants with us, that we abide with him so much that we are just, people don't know that we're different than Jesus, because it just, whatever he's doing just flows through our lives. We're just part of him. And all of a sudden, our wills align. So I was trying to put this in practice, right, because I was on vacation, I said, and this was just something God speak in my heart, you know, especially verse 7, ask whatever you want, it shall be done. I'm like, Lord, how do I live this out? And so here we are, We're in line to go on their biggest roller coaster that's there. We came a different night than the night when people gave us passes, and it wasn't that long of a line. It was about 25-minute wait, and all of a sudden, you know, we're getting excited, and all of a sudden we hear over the loudspeaker, you know, due to climatic weather, that this ride is being temporarily closed, right? And we're like, oh, are you kidding me, right? You know, we're in Florida. There's thunderstorms all over the place. We're like, okay. So everybody's like, okay. Some people are leaving. We're like, let's wait. 15 minutes later, the ride opens up again, right? 15 minutes later, the ride opens up like, okay, we're going to go, right? 5 minutes later, we get a little further in line. Due to the weather, this ride is temporarily closed. Like, you got to be kidding me, right? Right? No way, right? So at this point, like, so many more people are leaving. Most of my family says, hey, we're going to go check out a show. But my youngest son, he doesn't want to leave. He's like, I came here. I want to ride this ride. Can we please stay, right? And I see that desire in his heart, and I'm like, you know what? I'm willing to stick around and wait. We're going to wait. Hopefully this storm passes, right? And so So all of a sudden, I just start thinking of this, and we're waiting for the rain to pass. And I'm like, Lord, your word says, if I abide in you and your word abides in me, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done. And I said, Lord, would you please just pass this rain so that it doesn't rain and so that my son, who's just so excited, can just enjoy this ride. And all of a sudden, right, just check this out. All of a sudden, the ride opens up again, right? So we're like excited, you know, and I said, Sammy, did you pray too? And I'm excited. And so all of a sudden, they do that thing where, like, they send one car as a test car, and then they send the second car as a test car, right? And we're like, okay, this is really opening up, right? And people got out of the way and moved, and all of a sudden, we could go right in line. Someone's like, how about you go to the next car? So they literally, we were going to get on the car of the first train, right? Now, I wasn't liking that idea because I was like, I'd like somebody else to try out the ride, you know, so that if something happens, it happens on them. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Nobody knows what I'm talking about. Okay, but instead, we're there. So there we go. We sit in. We pull in the bar. We strap it in. You know, I'm like, hey, you ready? And he's like, yeah, you ready? I'm like, oh, I don't know if I'm ready. This is a scary ride, but okay, here we go. And all of a sudden,
we have to tell you that due to the weather, this ride is being closed.
We're like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? We're sitting on the ride. And so we get off, and Sammy's like, can we wait just another half an hour, Dad, for this storm to pass? And I'm like, yes, absolutely. So we're waiting there right at the bar to get on the ride. And I just keep praying, Lord, what are you doing here? Would you pass this weather? And then as I'm just praying to him, I just felt like the Lord said, it's about being with your family. My will is to bless you with your family. And I just said, okay, Lord, would you bless this night? Would you just help us to have a great time together? And would you just give us thankful hearts? Because that's the most important thing. Just give us thankful hearts. And all of a sudden, do you hear what happened? My prayer changed as it aligned with the will of God. Because all of a sudden, it wasn't about me going on the ride or him going on the ride. It was about, Lord, just bless us as we're away, that we would have a sweet communion together. And you know what happened the rest of the night? It rained. The heavens opened up, thunder came, and it rained the rest of the night. And you know what? Me and my family, we went out to some fast food, and we had a blessed time. And even my son, who struggles sometimes with those kind of things, he started just telling all the reasons why he's still thankful for being on this vacation. And I said, thank you, Lord, you answered my prayer. That's the heart cry of my heart, and that's your will. Do you see this? What happens when we abide with God? That he transforms us to be like him. We see things as he sees, and all of a sudden our prayer changes to be conformed with his. All of a sudden we can receive the love of God because we're not upset because we didn't get our selfish way. This is why these promises, they're not just for anybody. These promises are not like, hey, come to church and ask whatever you want, you get it. That's not what this is about. It's when we abide in Jesus and when we remain. So tonight, as we close, I want to encourage you one more time. This promise is for you. And this promise is for you to abide in God, not just because you're at camp, but this promise is for you to go tomorrow night and Saturday and all next week and all summer and all in the fall when you go back to school or wherever, God, that you can know that God is calling you every single day. Come and stay connected to me. Don't be some cell phone Christian or curling iron Christian or anything else. Stay connected in this vine. Stay right there. And so I just want to challenge some of you tonight as we close. And we're going to just take some time to seek the Lord. And here's my challenge. First of all, I know this. Some of you guys have come to this camp with some really heavy burdens. Some of you come to this camp and there's some really heavy things going on in your life. Some of you come to this camp saying, God, do you even know what I'm facing and what I'm going through? Maybe there's some of you that say, I'm confused. God, why are you allowing this to happen? And I want to encourage you that not just because you're abiding here, but that this is a place that you can say, God, you see me, you know me, and you know what I'm going through. And your word says that I can ask whatever I wish. And so, God, would you just please conform my desires to your desires? And God, would you hear me? And would you see me? I feel like God wants to tell some of you, he sees your situation. I feel like God's saying, you're not alone. I think that God is calling some people here today. Can I get two counselors to move this back, please? I feel like God's saying to some of you today that he's calling you on to the next step. He's calling you to say, listen, I want you to bear fruit in your life. This is my plan for you. Some of you, he's already started bearing fruit in your life, doing incredible things, and we're amazed by it. But I just feel like every single person, I just feel like he has a purpose and plan. And for you to accomplish that plan starts with you abiding and learning to abide and stay with him. It starts there. And maybe some of you, maybe the decision is, you know what, you've been coming here and you had an incredible week and God's speaking to you, but maybe there's a difference between just going and recognizing and believing that God is real and actually saying, okay, God, here I am, use me. Maybe there's a difference between going and enjoying a song or a service and you saying, no, God, I want to stay connected to you every day of my life. Maybe tonight's the night that you make that decision. I shared part of this message with a men's group last Saturday. And there was a man in the back. He was probably in his 70s. And when I got done, he said, July 15th, 1968. And I'm like, what's that, sir? That's the decision. That's the day that I decided to abide in Jesus. Maybe for some of you, tonight's the night. I say, you know what? I'm not going to just play this roller coaster game with camp. I'm going to abide in Jesus. So, Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for your precious promises. And I thank you so much, Jesus, that your word says that when we abide in you, that you abide in us. And I believe, Jesus, already that you've been abiding with us all week long. I believe that because of what you've done, Jesus, on the cross, Lord, that you abide with us. I believe with all my heart and soul that your hand is upon every single soul in this room. I believe it with all my heart and soul. Thank you for abiding with us. But God, we want to abide in you. We want to stay connected to you. And I recognize we can't do that, and I can't do that on my own strength. So I'm just asking, Holy Spirit, would you just come right now? I'm just asking, Holy Spirit, would you come and shape and move our desires in our hearts right now? Would you just put a longing in our hearts to stay connected to the source, which is you, O Jesus? Jesus, forgive us when we've gone to other sources for our pleasures. Forgive us when we grab our phones and go to other things to fulfill us, when it's not satisfying and we're broken on the inside. But Jesus, you are the source of all things. So Jesus, we come tonight and we repent and we say, Lord, we're sorry. And Lord, we want to learn. We want you to speak to us. We want you to speak to our hearts. And we want you to move in our lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You come tonight. You come tonight. We come to wait on you. Speak to us, Lord. Kids, if the Lord's speaking to your heart, maybe there's some of you that's like, Lord, I just want to abide in you. These altars are open. This place, you can just come and seek the Lord. Maybe there's some of you that would just say, I just got something really heavy, that you come and you make an altar right here before the Lord, and you just take that heaviness that you have in your heart, and you just give it to the Lord tonight, and just say, Lord, I'm just standing on your word. Tonight, maybe some of you, God's dealing with you about his purpose and how he wants to work in your life. You just come and say, God, here I am. Use me, fill me, strengthen me. You come, kids, if you want to come and seek the Lord tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that your spirit's here tonight. We love you. We love you. We adore you tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I'm just believing, God. I'm just believing that as we wait in your presence, as we call out to you, as we cry to you, oh God, some heavy burdens in our hearts, God, I'm just believing, God, that you hear us, God. I'm believing for you to answer, believing for you to see us, God. Conform us, Lord, to your heart tonight, we ask. Jesus, speak to our hearts tonight. Thank you, Lord.